Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, July 24th, 2015. Hope you had a good week. Looking forward to a good weekend. We are live each weekday. We're here at 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. But you don't need to be in front of a radio. If you're near a computer, you can live stream this show anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's fine website, kvoi.com, both with the live streaming. Friday, we like to do a media partner shout-out to TucsonSentinel.com, one of our partners, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to all of our media friends. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Craig Sumberg is with us. Craig is the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater, the crown jewel of downtown Tucson. Following a six-year, $14 million rehabilitation, the theater, built in 1930, reopened on New Year's Eve in 2006. The building's listed on the National Register of Historic Places due to its unique Southwestern Art Deco, as well as its world-class acoustics. The nonprofit Fox Tucson Theater Foundation continues to move forward with greater financial independence as an essential economic driver in the current resurgence of downtown. A recent economic impact survey found that the Fox brings more than $3.4 million annually into the downtown. Joining me to question Mr. Sumberg is Jim Nintzel, award-winning senior writer at Tucson Weekly and host of the Sunday morning TV talk show Zone of Politics, which is featured this week in John Schuster, the Media Watch column. A very nice write-up, Jim, about what you're doing with Zone of Politics. You're launching your second season Sunday morning, right?
We did, yeah. We took a little bit of a break here for the last 3 weeks, and we are back on the air this week. We have actually Bernie Sanders on the show this week.
What?
Footage.
Whoa, that's a good get.
It's a great get. It's not a one-on-one with me, but it's an interview he conducted up at the Netroots conference this last weekend up in Phoenix, which I'm sure we'll talk about
on the round table.
And then Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers talk about Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Planned Parenthood, and a whole bunch more on our little talk segment.
So that's a good show, it sounds like. And that's on TV 58.
58 on your cable networks and 58 on DirecTV and broadcast, moving over to the CW from KGUN9. This week with the launch of season two.
All right, let's welcome Craig Sumberg. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how the Fox is doing financially.
We're doing great. Things have really come along the last 5 years or so. We've improved every year, so our trends are all good. We went from about a $600,000 budget 5 years ago, and now we're verging on a $3 million budget in 2015. That's the budget goal anyway. And gone from a pretty sizable annual deficit to making money 2 years in a row. So we feel pretty good about where things are going.
And who owns the Fox?
The people of Arizona.
Okay.
Which is to say, literally, Rio Nuevo owns the building.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a long-term lease with them and a very good relationship with them these days. And so we are operating and caretaking the building and hope someday to get it back on, you know, for the foundation. But the current status is it's literally owned by Rio Nuevo.
And the foundation is a nonprofit group that kind of oversees.
Correct. 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay. Jim?
And the 501c3 manages the theater. You're the executive director of that. And
correct.
You run that. And it has been a occasionally bumpy road with the Rio Nuevo, and that group has obviously changed quite a bit over the years as well.
You bet.
You've seen some changes there. But right now, it sounds like you have a good relationship with the current existing board.
I want to say ever since I've been at the Fox, though there was more tension 5 or 6 years ago than there is now, it was never bad. It was always just, you know, trying to work out the details of the agreement and trying to get obviously we all wanted the same thing, which was the Fox to be successful and a successful economic driver of downtown. Now that that's happening, they're happy, we're happy. So, you know, we're just, everything's is easier when things are going in the right direction.
And when the Fox opened in on New Year's Eve, right there as we turned the calendar over into 2006, downtown really was in its infancy as far as the revitalization.
Correct.
And I'm very curious to hear from your point of view how things have changed and how the downtown coming alive has helped you and your colleagues at the Fox.
No question about it. You could say that when the Fox opened in 2006, downtown was simply not ready for a venue like that theater. You know, $14.5 million restoration, beautiful building, great acoustics, trying to bring in world-class shows and people afraid to come downtown. So there was a disconnect in that reality, and that's clearly different now. We've had to live through some tough times, recession, downtown streetcar construction. So the fact that we've made as much progress as we have to come out of debt says a lot about the current board, staff, volunteers at the theater. We feel like now we're poised to really take off given what's happening downtown.
And you have a mix of revenue streams, I would take it, from between the revenue from the shows themselves, but also the fundraising that you do. And how does that break down roughly in terms of your annual?
We are roughly 80-20, which is a pretty good breakdown. So we're earning 80 and raising 20% of our income. Performing arts centers and theaters usually in the range of 60-40 to 80-20. A few will do better than 80-20, can earn more, and some will just raise a whole lot because they're in Palm Springs or wherever they are. But 80-20 is a solid number.
And you have a pretty good group of people contributing, you know, the members.
We do. It's growing. We've gone from about 400 members, I think that was 3 years ago, to over 1,200 this year. And we're looking for 1,500. So it's growing every year. Last year, we grew 100,000 on the raised funds side. And we hope to do another 100,000 increase this year. So as we're busier, as the programming is heavier, people like what they're seeing, and they want to be members for self-interested reasons, to get advance notice of the shows and be able to buy better seats, and also just because they like what we're doing for downtown and for Tucson, and so they're supporting that.
Well, go ahead,
John. I was going to say, let's get away from the inside baseball and then let our listeners know what it is you guys have coming up in the next couple of months.
Beautiful. I love those softballs. Well, we have tonight, but don't come down because we have no tickets, Lyle Lovett. Now, we've had Lyle Lovett twice in the past 3 years, never yet with his large band. So tonight we're getting that full large band on our stage, and we have a small-ish stage. It's a vaudeville stage, so they'll be tight. But we've had the Tucson Symphony on there, so we're sure we can fit them, and that's just going to be a great show. Other stuff coming up quickly, Joe DiMassina, a great country artist, coming up in August 5th. We've got a couple of great tribute shows coming in August, Remember the King, which is Lonely Street Productions and Robert Shaw, and then Twist and Shout, which they call the Definitive Beatles Experience. There is a lot of great Beatles shows, but this is certainly one of them, and it's got Tony Kishman, who's a local Tucsonan, as the Paul character. And that's going to be a fun show. And on the funk side, which we don't do a whole lot of, but we try and throw it in there now and again, we have George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic coming up on August 21st. So there's a lot of great stuff just this summer, never mind the fall season.
And it
was a great country when yeah. George Clinton was president.
Yes.
And you have Glenn Miller in the orchestra. I wonder if any of these folks are like descendants of the real...
All those traveling big band shows almost always have a few folks who traveled with the original band. Yep.
790-2040, 790-2040. We're talking about downtown, the resurgence of downtown, and part of that resurgence certainly is the Fox Tucson Theater. So lining up shows is a huge amount of work, and you have to plan how far in advance?
We're all different. The Fox programming model is essentially 3 to 9 months. UA Presents plans out longer. They get their season up earlier. Rialto tends to be even shorter than we are, but we're all kind of, you know, we've figured out the model. So ours is 3 to 9 months. We do two seasons a year, so we do a fall season unveil in June, and we'll do the spring season round about December 1st, and give our members about 10 days to buy tickets before the general public.
When you make a pitch to an artist or their team that is putting together whether they should come to Tucson, what do you tell them about Tucson? What do you tell them about your
Generally
venue?
Speaking, most folks have been here at one point or another, so I don't have to do a lot of selling. Honestly, the best selling point I have for the Fox Theater is it's a great hall. People love to play there. It's got great acoustics. It's beautiful. So I don't really have to sell the hall. And the theater is literally a minute and a half from the highway. So when they're going from Texas to California or Las Vegas to Texas, we have to go by. You basically have to go by the theater. And so we get a lot of routed dates. Your audience will have noticed we get a lot of our bigger shows during the week. The Willie Nelsons, B.B. Kings, Lyle Lovitz, their weekday shows. Actually, we have Lyle tonight on a Friday night, but that's somewhat unusual because mostly they want to be in the bigger markets for the weekends. So we're happy to take them on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night.
All right, we're going to take our first break here of the Buckmaster Show. Friday on the show, we try to kind of look back at 60s music. Today, Peter, Paul, and Mary music, and then we'll be back with Craig Sumberg of Fox Tucson Theater and Jim Nintzel from The Weekly. We'll be right back. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on Monday, our Monday Political Face-Off featuring John Munger and Vince Robigo, plus a newsmaker interview with Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Join us noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and we have anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our show archive on my website. It's buckmastershow.com.
in the early morning rain.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, a real mellow sound of Peter, Paul, and Mary, Early Morning Rain, from 1966. Can't believe it, but a long time ago, the first group I ever saw, Peter, Paul, and Mary, at a coffee house in Chicago. It must have been 1963. Then later that summer, saw them at Ravinia, north of Chicago, a great summer location for outdoor concerts. Craig Sumberg of the Fox, you kind of remember some of the Peter, Paul, and Mary stuff, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, my musical taste was formed by my brother, who's 6 years older, and he was mm-hmm. into the 60s. So that's my generation, even though I'm a bit younger than that. And we actually had Peter and Paul, I just mentioned, a couple, mm-hmm. maybe 2 years ago, and they did put on a great show.
Craig Sumberg is here. He's the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater. Jim Ninsel is here from the Tucson Weekly. Craig, how is the relationship with the other theater venues, the Rialto and Centennial Hall? And there's been some expansion with UA Presents now, including the Fox as a venue in some of their, well, as part of their season tickets.
Yes. Well, UA Presents clearly a couple of years ago expanded their vision in terms of what it meant to be a college presenter in Tucson, and moved out of the simply using Centennial Hall, which was great for us, and that's continued, and they've even grown their presence a little bit. I think we have 6 shows on our calendar this year, so we're very happy about that. It's a very solid relationship. We also work closely with our friends at the Rialto down the street. Sometimes those are rentals, sometimes they're co-promotions. You can't really tell if from the audience perspective, but we got a very good relationship there, and just kind of depends on where the show will do better or appear better.
Craig, how about price point? How do you price your tickets?
Sometimes too high.
When they but, I mean, sell, that's a real art, isn't it? Kind of figuring out
sure
what
is.
The market is going to
be. It sure
bear.
Is. Yeah. And it's definitely more art than science. We do the best we can. When we make mistakes, we'll offer discounts to try and get it down to sell some tickets. So, you know, audiences will notice. I mean, your listeners will know. Occasionally shows go on sale, various kinds. When they go on buy one, get one, you know the show's not selling too well. That's probably not a secret. But by and large, I think we've got a good handle on what sells in Tucson, what sells at the Fox, approximately what our prices should be. We're always toying with raising prices because the higher the price, the little more income for the foundation. But obviously, we want to keep the ticket prices reasonable as well. So you'll almost always find 5 or 6 levels at the Fox. That's more than some of our sister theaters. And we do that partly, for a lot of it is we want to have people who aren't, you know, living in the foothills be able to come to our shows. So we always try and have a range of ticket prices.
Here's Jim Ninsel, The Weekly.
So the business is very challenging, predicting, you know, what show will do well in the town and the ticket price and all the rest of that. But I'm curious how the trend of more and more artists playing at festivals is affecting the venues and what's going on with the touring bands.
I don't perceive the festivals really affecting us much. I mean, those are actually great ways for the artists to get exposed to new audiences because there's so many people coming. It's not just your 1,000 people at the Fox. It's 100,000 people or 30,000 people seeing a lot of different bands. What's affected the business more really is the casino model of booking. They tend to be able to pay a little bit more. You know, depending on the casino, some of them don't need the concerts themselves to make any money.
It's kind of a loss leader.
Correct. So that does impact the way we book. And our casinos in Tucson are bigger. But all the halls at the casinos are bigger than either the Fox or the Rialto. So we don't necessarily compete on that level. But it has impacted the overall business for sure.
It does seem like there are so many festivals occurring these days that the artists can make more money at the festivals than they can on the typical tour stop.
And true enough, but they do have to get to the festivals, and as often as not, they'll want to play on their way to the festivals. So, you know, there's still some left over for those of us running brick-and-mortar buildings.
Well, that's a relief.
Tell me about the upkeep of the Fox, a theater that's 85 years old.
How long is the show?
I mean, it's constant.
It is constant.
Constant concern.
There's this idea that we have restored the theater and now it's perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, at least, you know, one of our sister Fox theaters, we talked earlier before the show about the Fox system. And, you know, we were the 501st theater, Fox theater in the country. It was a big, huge network. Many of those have been taken down or turned into other things, but there's maybe 40 or 50 left. And the one in Atlanta has 4,000 or 5,000 seats. It's huge. It's just a kind of a monstrous, beautiful building. And they have an ongoing, they have a permanent person on restoration. Mm-hmm. So that's just an ongoing thing. And they, you know, they call it that. We, of course, have a facility manager who's always trying to keep things working at the building. And we are always thinking ahead about, well, what's going to need to get replaced when. But that's the life of a historic theater.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Dan called us. Dan has a question for Craig Sumberg. Go ahead.
Yeah, first I'd like to comment that I thought it was pretty interesting that he called Tucson just a mud hole between Dallas and Phoenix. But other than that, it seems like some of the shows in the Indian casinos, they do attract top names on weekends. Why can't we on the Fox?
Okay. I don't know. Did you call Tucson a mud hole?
I don't recall using the term mud
hole. No, just for the record. Yeah.
Right.
But you did say it is conveniently located.
We route well, and in my business, routing well is a key to the business model.
Yeah.
Casinos will pay more for shows, as will UA Presents. UA Presents gets some shows on the weekend. Those shows cost more money, and the Fox has to make the bottom line work. So we're pretty happy with our weekday model. And by the way, that keeps the weekends free for local community rentals, of which we get a lot, and that very important piece of the business model for us. So I think it works well for Tucson.
You know, Craig, we talked about the big shows coming up, a sleeper show coming up this fall that people may not be expecting to be a great show, but you know is going to be a great show.
From my perspective?
Yeah.
It depends on whether you know her, but Joan Armatrading to me is the sleeper on the fall season. I mean, she was a huge in the 80s and just one of the great singer-songwriters. Doesn't tour much. This is a solo tour, but it's going to be a great night. So that's in mid-October. And Melissa Etheridge is also doing a solo tour. Obviously, people know her. That's in November. That show is going to be just a wonderful night. Not a sleeper at all, I hope, but our gala is in September, on September 27th. The Fox is 85 years young, speaking of restoration, and we have lucky enough to have Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell playing that show. So the way the gala works is there's a $75 ticket. That's the flat rate for all tickets that aren't VIP. The VIP version is $250 and up, and that includes a really nice dinner in the county courthouse courtyard, and then we walk over to the theater and see that great band.
Also, Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall coming September 26th. That's going to be a great show.
You bet. I mean, he's just a great musician and great, really somebody who's affected the music business in so many ways. And that show seems to be selling tickets nicely.
You're also not just doing music shows. You're doing, there's been very popular lecture series.
Sure. So that's one of those shows that's a rental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's to the university, the mm-hmm. College of Behavioral Health and Sciences. It's the third year of their downtown lecture series. Unfortunately, I forget what does it say on here? I'm looking at my brochure. Immortality is
okay.
The first one was death. No.
Mm-hmm.
Forget them already now. Last year was food. They just do a different issue every year and kind of
right.
bring in some great speakers from the university. And it's a fun night and sells very – I mean, it's a free show. It's a free lecture, but it brings a lot of people out from the community.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of part of the business too, the rental part of the business.
You bet. And we're trying to beef that up because obviously when we rent, we don't have any risk. So if we could rent every night of the year, we probably would. But we enjoy presenting, and we like, you know, kind of think through what does the community want to see, what's right for the Fox to bring in. It's a mix. I mean, it's fairly commercial. We're doing, you know, less fine art stuff than UA Presents. I see us somewhere between the Rialto and UA Presents on the spectrum. But, you know, classic rock, country, singer-songwriter, some comedy, jazz and blues.
And you got some space stuff coming up too, don't you? Osiris Rex coming up in September, doing operation over there. No,
no,
I don't know.
Oh,
I'd
yes.
Heard. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. That's a rental too. I think it's called Benuval.
Benuval.
Yes, correct. So the university is definitely, you know, looking at downtown as a place they want to present stuff, And others just, they love the venue and they want to use it as much as possible.
So where can people find out more about the season, perhaps becoming a member?
FoxTucson.com is the website. You can also call the office. 624-1515 is the foundation number for membership. And the box office is 547-3040. And we're just thrilled at the community response to what we're bringing to downtown. And obviously our downtown restaurants are happy to have us busy, kind of bookended by the Rialto, Arizona Theater Company, the Convention Center doing more stuff. So downtown's a great place to be right now.
Craig Sundberg, thank you very much. The Fox celebrating 85 years, and we appreciate you coming in and telling us what's been going on. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Thank you very much. Good seeing you guys.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 exactly on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday focus. Jim Nintzel sticks around. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Star will join us, and we'll have our Friday roundtable right after this.
When I was just a lad of 10, my father said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely lemon tree. Don't put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely lemon tree. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Here we go. Thank you.
old computer got locked up on me, and I don't have...
Well, I thought we were supposed to hear Leaving on a Jet Plane.
So did I.
That's not Peter Paul and Mary.
That's a little bit of Sailing with Christopher Cross.
A transportation fee.
Yes, there you go.
Let me see if I can get Peter Paul and Mary back online.
Maybe for the next.
I got to say, Bill, I love the Peter Paul and Mary, but it is the 50th anniversary of Dylan going electric.
I know, and it's so ironic because I had emailed Tom Fairbanks this morning, and I said, let's do Dylan, and then I changed my mind, not realizing until you came that it's the 50th anniversary of the Newport Jazz Festival when Dylan went electric.
You said you were going to lead off with Blowing in the Wind. I assumed it was going to be Dylan, and you were celebrating this 50th historic anniversary that split the 60s in half.
I think I blew it there. That's Jim Nintzel, the weekly, and his TV show is Zone of Politics, which will be on at 8 a.m. Sunday on TV 58.
Yes, Channel 8 on your cable stations. Bernie Sanders in the house, in the Zone of Politics house this week. So
all right,
we're very
and
excited.
Sarah Gard Gasson joining us now on the roundtable, columnist and editorial writer for The Star. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, thanks for asking.
You know, speaking of Bernie Sanders and, of course, Trump, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think the whole thing with McCain and Trump, I think there's a segment of Trump followers that Trump could pretty much say anything, and that about 20 to 25% his following would stay with him.
I think you're probably right. I think also that, you know, Senator John McCain isn't the most popular in some segments of the Republican Party, so that's not too surprising, but yet Donald Trump will say anything and does say anything and counts on all of us to talk about it.
And I will say one more thing about Trump, Nintzel, that if Trump goes third party, that could be big problems for the Republicans.
Yeah, huge problems for the Republicans. Now, he said on Morning Joe today that he didn't want to go third party, and as long as people continue to treat him with respect within the Republican Party, he'll avoid that third party run.
But if those dummies
and stiffs don't treat him the right way, you don't know what's, you know, you got to treat him first class, a guy like Donald Trump. First class guy.
Hey,
you know, I can't wait to see what he does next. It's true. I just, the Lindsey Graham phone number thing this week.
That was pretty great.
The travel down to the border and then claiming the Border Patrol canceled the tour because they were being signed. I mean,
I know that the mainstream Republicans are hoping, you know, he's white hot here in July. They're hoping that he's going to go cold. But, man, as long as Trump is out there speaking, he's going to get publicity.
Oh, absolutely. But one thing, when I watched the video of the Trump
Phoenix event,
visit to Phoenix, and one thing that he did say in there, he was talking about how we have to repeal Obamacare, yada, yada, and he got the big applause for all of that. But then he said, we have to take care of everyone. And he said, you know, this isn't something that Republicans are very keen on, but we have to take care of everyone
in the health field.
And healthcare. Yeah. And you could almost hear the crickets.
Yeah, because he's talking about universal healthcare.
Right.
He has supported in the past.
So I think he has more than just his, he doesn't have really any positions to speak of, but he does attract a lot of attention. But I think also if people do pay attention to what he does say occasionally of substance, they might not like as much of what they think they do.
How'd you get Bernie Sanders on your TV show, Nitzel?
We actually have Bernie did a town hall event, so we got some footage from the town hall event that he did up there with the Netroots Nation. So one of the reasons Sanders was in town in the first place, besides the big speech he gave up that drew 11,000 people and people were really excited about what he had to say in that speech, was the Netroots Nation gathering, which was a convention of lefty bloggers and activists and politicians and strategists, came together to talk about the 2016 election and various other things. So there was a town hall event that featured Martin O'Malley, the former Maryland governor, who's also running for president, and Bernie Sanders, with one-on-one interviews with a journalist. And so we were able to get footage from that. That event was actually disrupted by the Black Lives Matter group, who were very upset that there wasn't enough attention on their issue at this Netroots conference because the prime focus was on immigration, which was kind of ironic because last year Joe Biden was giving a speech and they were interrupted by the DREAM Act folks who were upset that there wasn't enough focus on immigration. So they decided to put the focus on immigration this year and came out.
Someone is upset about something everywhere.
There's a lot of identity politics within the Democratic Party, and I think that was fully on display at this event, where they took over and stormed the stage and really kind of turned the event kind of sideways on the Netroots organizers. And it makes me wonder how many more presidential candidates would be interested in accepting an invite, given what seems to happen at this event. But Elizabeth Warren was there. We're going to have footage from her speech next week on the show, as well as Governor O'Malley. So we got some good stuff coming up.
Let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim has called us. I believe it's Jim Kelly. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Bill. Thank you for allowing me to speak again. You know, guys, Jim and Sarah, this Donald Trump phenomenon, of course, is causing me a lot of sleepless nights and headaches with my own people within the Republican Party. You know, about 25%, that small, very active, vocal core of the party is like loving this guy because, you know, he's telling it like it is and he's not being politically correct, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is that it has become a sideshow. And it does dampen down the voices of who I consider, you know, there are some very, very good Republican candidates for president this year. So one of the things about Trump and his support of Obamacare that I don't think a lot of people understand, corporate America wants to get out of the business of paying for health care. They want a single-payer system. They don't want to have to manage this stuff because it costs them money. Mm-hmm. And I honestly believe that there may be a mechanism somewhere within Congress, Senate or the House, that somebody is going to come up and say, listen, if corporate America promises to give pay raises to everybody, then we'll let them off the hook of making sure that everybody has health care, and we'll go to a single-payer system. So I think that may happen a lot sooner than people think. And, okay, of course, that's going to set off that 25% core base within the Republican Party to no end because they don't want the so-called single-payer system.
Okay.
So I'm just saying these are going to be issues over the next year in presidential politics, and I believe that subject matter is going to come up of single-payer. Corporations get out of having to pay for it. They'll pay for it in a tax or something and raise the rate to the living wage.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Jim.
I think that's a really interesting perspective, although I do have a problem with just the idea of corporate America promising to give everyone raises, because that would be nice, but I think Jim makes some interesting points.
I agree that probably a lot of businesses would like to get out of the business of providing health care. They don't have to do this in other countries. It's very expensive to their bottom line. Those costs have been climbing before Obamacare, after Obamacare. It's a big burden on businesses to provide that, and it does make it more difficult for them to be competitive in the global marketplace, without a doubt. Whether or not Republicans would support moving to a single-payer system, or at least the current Republicans in Congress, I think is an open question. I'm a little skeptical as to whether they would go for something like that. But I would also say that I don't think Trump has become a sideshow. I think he was a sideshow from the moment he announced his candidacy. And I don't imagine he's doing a whole lot for the Republicans' efforts to A, attract more Latino voters, and B, keep a more control over the presidential nominating process.
Before we go back to the live line, a recall effort has been launched. A parent in TUSD is very upset, and the parent is not alone in about the H.T. Sanchez raise of 24%. Dr. Sanchez was on the show on Monday, but this recall effort is, of course, aimed at the three TUSD board members who approved the salary increase. Jim and Sarah, do you think this will get some traction?
You know, all I know about it is what I've read about it in Sarah's newspaper. Mm-hmm. But I think recall efforts are a very challenging thing. We'll see whether this guy has money or organization.
Yeah, because something like that. 15,000 signatures, something like that. Seems
for
like
each
a lot.
Candidate.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
Right, and then you have to have someone running against them, and it's very hard to pull off a recall election. I think the parent. Has tapped into something that, you know, people talk about an awful lot, which is dissatisfaction with the majority on the TUSD board. But they've been reelected fairly recently. So I think a recall is an uphill battle.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a real challenge to see if it actually goes anywhere. It's one thing. I mean, you had people take out petitions against PCC
yes.
board members who were I think had more of an organization and they weren't able to pull
right.
that off. So
John has called us at 790-2040. John, you're with Jim and Sarah and Bill.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to comment on Donald Trump real quick. Given that Donald Trump is kind of, as a political entity, is a creation of the conservative base and Fox News surrounding the birther issue, is there, from the Democratic Party, from the people you've talked to, is there any schadenfreude from them in regards to the Republican Party dealing with their Frankenstein's monster? And then in terms of Trump's impact on the election, do you see him having opposite effects on the election in terms of costing maybe the Republicans the presidency, but then strengthening Republicans' grip on congressional and state seats? And that's it.
Okay. Thanks. Good question.
I think we're going to have to see how it plays out over the course of the next year in terms of what happens, how long he lasts, how much longer this circus plays on in terms of what kind of impact it has down the line. But yes, I think a lot of Democrats are enjoying the sideshow that Donald Trump is creating within the Republican primary.
Right. It is a long road to the presidential election and even the primaries. I think the debate structure coming up is going to be really interesting as people try to figure out how to maybe exclude him, but at the same, you know,
yeah.
for the just sucking all the oxygen out of the room. But at the same time, you can't discredit a Republican candidate who is clearly very, very, very popular with a large mm-hmm. active segment of the base. So the more corporate traditional Republican Party establishment has its that's a fine line they're going to have to walk, and it'll be interesting to see how they do that and what the other one of the things that I'm enjoying is watching all the other candidates, you know, all 24 million of them, it seems, since it keeps getting bigger and bigger, going, having to react to what he says. And I think that is going to be...
And they're all worried, oh, I hope he doesn't pick on me next.
I hope he doesn't give out my cell phone number next. There are 16 Republicans now in this race. You could do a bracket, actually. And 10 of them are going to be on the debate stage for Fox in less than 2 weeks, I
yes.
think, which, of course, I'm very excited about watching. And I think that, you know, when you break it down, it's a little bit crazy. Two-hour debate with commercials, introductions, closing statements. I think each of these candidates are going to get about 8 minutes at the end of the day. So it's going to be a tight performance for all of them.
I asked you about traction for the recall effort for the three school board candidates who voted for the increase for H.T. Sanchez. How about traction for the three Republican candidates, Jim Nintzel, who are running against Shirley Scott, Paul Cunningham, and Rahina Romero for the council? These, I think Frank Antonori was behind these billboards that have been launched around town.
Yeah, Frank yep. and his friend Christine Bowserman mm-hmm. have bought 20 billboards around town asking questions of the Democrats about, you know, downtown mm-hmm. and other
like
questions.
Like who, why not fix the potholes? You know, Tucson's a crime-ridden city. It's a poor place.
Great to see Frank back in action. We'll see how much impact Frank has on the election. Uphill battle for sure for Republicans. I've only met one of them, Margaret Burkhalter, who's running against Shirley Scott. Mm-hmm. Seems like a very smart woman on the Vail School Board. I'm scheduling interviews with the other candidates and looking forward to meeting them, and I'll be able to tell you more about them.
What do you think?
Once I've had a conversation with them.
What do you think, Sarah?
Well, I think anyone who thought Frank Antonori was going to stay
sideline.
Yeah, live happily ever after out in Vail. Is not surprised that he's turned up again. I mean, when he was in office in the state legislature dealing with the city council in Tucson was sort of a side occupation for him. But I think Jim's right that a Republican candidate is going to have an uphill battle.
All right. And there's been reports that David Gowan, the House Speaker, may be looking very seriously at a run in Congressional District 1. Jim, any truth do you think to that?
Well, he's termed out, and there's certainly been a lot of talk that he is interested in running. You know, they were trying to redraw those maps until the Supreme Court upheld the current maps, which means David, who does not live in District 1, would have to carpetbag his way into that race. And I would not be surprised to see him make an effort there. There's a lot of Republicans. There's an open seat. Ann Kirkpatrick is running against John McCain. Democrats are going to have to find a solid candidate over there, and there's a number of Republicans. Paul Babiou, also interested, the Pinal County Sheriff. Ken Bennett, the former Secretary of State and state lawmaker, climbing into that race. There's some talk. Jonathan Payton, who narrowly lost to Ann Kirkpatrick a couple of years ago, might be interested. We've also heard people say they're not running. Oh, Gary Keeney, the cattle rancher, is in for sure. Mm-hmm. Andy Tobin, the nominee last time, has said he's not going to run this time out. So it's going to be a crowded race, I think, mm-hmm. on both the Democrat and Republican side. We have only a narrow slice of that district down here, but we'll be keeping an eye on it.
All right, Sarah, your column was hilarious Thursday.
Oh, thank you.
He took a tuba to
a
sousaphone to a Ku Klux Klan rally.
Yeah, these this gaggle of dudes with their KKK insignia and their Confederate flags were walking down the street, and this guy in Charleston, South Carolina, saw them and thought, I have to do something about this, and had a sousaphone handy.
Just so happened.
Yes. And
so rather than try to shout down the Klan members,
right,
he had something better.
He provided them the best soundtrack ever. It was sort of like do-dee-do-dee-do-dee. And then he did the Rite of the Valkyries, which is the kill the wabbit. And it was just, in an instant, he reduced them to just an absolute joke, and it was perfect.
All righty. Sarah Gart-Gasson and Jim Nintzel, hope you both have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thanks so much.
All righty. Coming up now. Now, Tom, do we have Peter, Paul, and Mary bump music? Yes.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
All right, time for Weekend Watch with our host, Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, the home of the Clay Festival. Everything to do with pottery, that's coming up next week in historic downtown Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in the Silver City area. Great place to be this time of year with that mile-high elevation, 6 to 7,000 feet in the area, makes for very pleasant days and cool nights in Silver City, and great places to stay in the area like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find out about all the places to stay and things to do by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, award-winning and highly respected Tucson publicist, and a guy who loves a good meal. How are you, Matt?
And Bill, I'm doing great, and let me be the first to wish you a happy National Tequila Day.
I am ready for it. I love tequila.
Now, you know, I know you fancy a fine Blanco
tequila
from time to time, mm-hmm. And for that reason alone, Bill, what better place to celebrate today than at Blanco Tacos and Tequila up at La Encantada? Now, our friends at Blanco have a tequila for every personality and palate, from light and floral Blancos to rich and savory añejos, and really everything in between, with nearly 50 selections in all. Some are beautiful on their own, others are musts for margaritas, but they're all perfect pairings for some of Blanco's signature tacos. I'll see you later today at Blanco, Bill, for National Tequila Day.
And if you're not into tequila but you're into wine, head to Sonoyta.
It is time to stomp the grapes this weekend at Harvest Fest at the Sonoyta Vineyards. As you said, this annual event is both Saturday and Sunday, and it includes spectacular Arizona wines, food and wine pairings, wagon rides, and winery tours. Now, I like to go on Saturday because at 1 p.m. they're going to have a grape stomping competition featuring local politicians who are going to take a break from the mudslinging and focus on grape stomping with 800 pounds of grapes. Always fun to watch. Sonoyta sounds like the place to be this weekend for Harvest Fest, a must for wine lovers across southern Arizona.
Yeah, I hope those politicians don't dig deep and start throwing the crushed. Hey, what's the new grill menu at the Shanty real quickly?
Yeah, we've always loved the Shanty for their beers, but if you wanted to eat something, all you had was popcorn until recently, but they've got a new menu of burgers and brats and a two-time award-winning chili that I just can't get enough of. You got to go get some great beer and some great chili at the Shanty on the corner of 4th and 9th Street. They got you covered. Check it out.
And in the column?
Yeah, when chefs talk about their culinary point of view, Bill, it all comes down to their individual style and technique. Now, I sat down with a local chef who had much to say about his own approach and how it helps him to serve 10,000 guests a week.
Wow.
You got to check this out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the team here at KVOI, and Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, just to name a few, and my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, I wish you a wonderful and safe weekend.